As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist, and you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Man, we are happy to have you folks along. Happy weekend. Hard to believe that we are in October, Ken. Just shocks me.
It is. It's, I can tell by the weather.
It's going to be 80 degrees.
I know, it's going to be a nice week.
Hey, by the time you guys hear this, it will have been 80 degrees for like 4 or 5 days. And that's just kind of almost unimaginable for October. I heard on the TV that it's the first time since the 1800s. That we've had weather this warm in Indiana in October. So we'll take it, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely.
I like it for the golf. So, hey, if you're new to Consider This, here's the deal. Ken and I have three objectives. We want to help you learn about your money. If you've never listened to Simon Sinek, he's the guy that's all about the why. If you go to TED.com and type in the power of why, you'll see Simon's video. It was life-changing for me. So when I wake up in the morning, I know my why is to educate people about their finances so that you don't make inefficient financial decisions that lead to frustration and devastation. I can give you many examples of both, that happened even just last week when people came in and, you know, somebody says devastation's a little bit over the top, don't you think, Joe? No, not when you lose a family business. It can be quite devastating when people make inefficient financial decisions. So what we're going to try to do is to help you learn different things about the tax code, required minimum distributions, mortgage rates, yields on the S&P 500, and how all of that works. We're going to help you try to come some strategies to try to improve your particular situation and then discover the best methods for your unique circumstance, how you kind of sort it out, if you will. Now, keep in mind, I will always tell you, whether you come to see us at the Financial Enhancement Group or whether you go someplace else, you need a fiduciary in your life, somebody who does not get paid to sell things, but somebody who gets paid to treat your money as if it were their money and they were in the same situation. That's what we do. As a fiduciary. Secondly, October 15th is coming quickly. Do you know why October 15th matters,
Ken?
Tax
day.
Yes. That is the day your taxes are officially due. April 15th is when the reporting is due. When the income is due, you got to pay the money in by April 15th or endure a penalty. October 15th is when the reporting is finally done. And the more we get involved with K-1s and businesses, the later people's taxes tend to get completed. So please don't forget. And also, of course, if you did a Roth conversion last year, remember October 15th is your last day. 14th will be the last day for you to undo that, unwind it. You've got one more shot to do this ever. And that's essentially coming in the next week. So you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Ken Dilger. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. Over the past 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share with you that process that we use to protect over 700 families and more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry 2 weeks before the crash in 1987. I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and a trusted advisor for the last 3 decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the IRS. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 or consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, yourlifeafterwork.com.
Well, good morning and welcome to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Man, it's happy to have you along, guys. We know that there are tons of things you could be doing with your day as opposed to listening to a financial program. So we are happy to have you here. Ken and I have three goals for the show. We want to help you learn, strategize, and then discover the best methods for your unique circumstance. We're going to talk a little bit about money. If you've got a question or a comment, you can always email us, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com. And of course, you can always call 800-928-4001. In the meantime, we got another question, very similar, Ken, to what we had last week. And the email was very straightforward. How would I classify the income that came from stocks that were gifted to me?
Interesting. How big of a difference is it, Joe?
Well, it seems like a very, very simple question. The problem is there's a lot of different things that can come from that. So when we talk about tax, Ken, there is income tax. There is inheritance tax. There are all sorts of penalties that can be in between the two. But there are many, many, many different things. So as morbid as it sounds, one of the questions we have to answer one of the things you have to know is, did the person who gave you the stocks, were they alive or were they dead? And there is a huge difference between the two. So let's talk about receiving stocks when you pass away. You leave a share of Apple stock behind your daughter, and you're gone. So when we talk about the word basis, remember, basis is what you paid after tax to buy a stock. So our basis in Apple, let's just say, is $9 a share because we were smart enough to buy it back in 2006. And you know, God is good. So the basis is $9 a share. So if I sell Apple today, the time of this recording, Apple's at about $227 a share. So if I die and my daughters inherit an Apple share, they get what's called a step up in basis. In other words, they don't have to pay any taxes on the money at all. Income tax. Now, would they have to pay inheritance tax in Indiana? No, we don't have inheritance tax in Indiana, fortunately. We got rid of that a few years ago. Would they have to pay federal estate tax? Well, if my estate was over $22 million and change, yes. But you know, at this point in time, that's not the case, right? So they get the stock and it's absolutely free. They can go sell it, no taxes, no nothing.
Let me ask you a question, Joe. What's it mean with the step up in basis? Bought it at nine, what's the step up to?
All the way to fair market value.
Oh wow.
So when you kick the bucket, you have your choice between using your everything at fair market value, the date of death, or you can take everything out into the future. I believe it's 9 months, it's 6 or 9 months. We haven't had to do this for so long, I forget. But it's all on that one given day. And the reason they have the 6 or 9 months later, and I apologize for forgetting which one it is, but the reason they have that is when you have a business owner and something happens to Elon Musk today, right? Tesla stock is either going to go up or down, you know, depending on the day. It's part of the deal. And so you can value it out into the future if you need to. But if you do that, everything gets valued that way. But a step up in basis just means to fair market value of whatever it is.
So what you're saying is if the father bought it at nine, he passes away. Now it's 226. So if she gets it today and sells it tomorrow, she doesn't have to pay any tax on it.
No income tax. No income tax. Now, she still could have to pay inheritance tax if she was in some states. She could still have to pay estate tax if she was if the estate was over the $22 million mark. But it's income. She gets that step up in basis. Now, let's say I gave it to her while she's at school. You know, like your daughter's at Indiana University. What I gave it to her while she's in school. She does not get a step up in basis. So her basis is my basis because I gave it to her during life. But this is where magic really starts to take into play. There is a thing called the kiddie tax that you have to be careful of, right? The kiddie tax says that if you have children that are under 25 that don't make enough income to support half their standard of living, that their tax rate used to be your top rate. Now it's actually the trust top rate. So it's 37% if they make more than a couple grand a year off of investment income, right? Unless they make enough on their own. But let's say your daughter's 25 and a half, right? She's over the 25 age year old mark. And I gift her Apple, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't get a step up in basis. But here's one of those unique things about the tax code that people need to understand. If you're in the first two brackets, if you're in the 10% bracket or the 12% bracket, there is literally no capital gains tax that you pay, right? So a single person over 25 can have up to about $37,000 worth of income, including that would count the profit she made off selling the stock. But as long as she doesn't make more than that, she literally pays no income tax on the sale of the Apple stock.
Let me ask you this, Joe. I know that you can gift to, I think, your family $15,000 without
anyone.
Telling.
Anyone, you can gift to me.
All right. So let me ask you this. So if she puts in, so if she's gifted all that stock and she sells $15,000 a year, would she be taxed on that?
Nope.
Would that consider to be a gift from?
Don't confuse the two. So it's $15,000 of value. That can be gold. That can be hard cold cash. That can be farm ground. Okay. You gave her $15,000. That's what's called the annual exclusion. You made that gift to her. She went out and she sold it. Mm-hmm. And as long as her income, as long as her taxable income for the year, all the income she made and all of her investment income, as long as it was below that mark, that $37,000 and change mark, she's in the 12% bracket. There is zero tax on a long-term capital gain.
So would that $15,000 somebody gift her be part of the $37,000?
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
Now, if you gave her $15,000 with Apple and she sold it, yes. The gain, the difference between your basis and what
That's
she
what
sold it
saying.
For, yes, that okay. would be part of it. But the actual gift of the $15,000 is not there. So here's your three things that I want you to be able to focus on as we go away from this question. Inheritance tax is different than income tax. Do not confuse the two. When we talk about estate planning, when we talk about legacy planning here at the Financial Enhancement Group and I bring people in, it's most of the estate work that has been done by attorneys is focused on inheritance tax and estate tax, but we oftentimes, most of the time, fail to recognize the income tax situation. Please don't do that. Secondly, gifts during life retain the original basis. So if Ken gives me a gift of something that he has, while he's alive, my basis is his basis. And so if I sell it, I'm going to have to pay taxes on whatever that growth is. And then last but not least, gifts at death get a step up in basis. So it doesn't help. And it's one of the sad things. You know, I didn't grow up in a world that had a lot of financial resources, Ken. But it is sad when I watch people who try to do what they did 20 years ago or 30 years ago without understanding the new tax code. Interest income is taxable to everybody, right? So if you're in the lowest bracket and you have interest, it's taxable. Money when you put it into an annuity when it comes out is taxable to somebody. Either you when you take it out or when you die to your beneficiaries when you take it out. It's not like a stock. So be very, very, very smart about what you own, especially when you're looking at toward passing it on to that next generation. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark along with Ken Dilger. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com. Don't forget to go to the website, get signed up for the Market Carver. If you want to hear about the market, we talk about that every single week. Again, yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll take a break and be right back.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are happy to have you along. You know, one of the, I don't know if it's sad, interesting, frustrating, whatever it is, Ken, but about once a quarter, somebody will come into my office and sit down with $1 million or more inside of an IRA or a 401k and have no idea that they have to start taking money out.
That's a tough problem to have, Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, there is that, but it's kind of ironic. You know, we are so hardwired as people either to save nothing or to save everything. But the idea that you would have saved your whole life, right? Because when the statements come in the mail, you know, I tell people that there's a point in time, and you don't know this yet because you still have kids, but there's a point in time when your kids leave and you're an empty nester. And that statement takes on almost its own personality. I mean, you would invite the darn thing to Thanksgiving if you could figure out how to, right? And it comes and you just want to look at it and it grows and life is so good. So the idea, the concept that somebody would tell you that you had to start taking money out of it is just so unnatural. It is wrong. But there is a thing that's called a required minimum distribution. You can start with that first R, required. You've got to take it. And what happens is when you turn 70 and a half, any tax-deferred accounts that you have that are in an IRA, you have to begin taking a distribution. Now, Ken, the technical rule, so we'll get really complex here for a second. The technical rule is it's actually the year after the year you turn 70 and a half. But if you do that, you have to take two distributions, the first one being by April 1st.
So what time of the year is the best? Does it go monthly? Does it go quarterly? How is that sent out?
People who live on it as income, which are very few in my experience, people who live on it as on an income end up getting it monthly. They have a monthly check just sent just like when you were working and the check hit your checking account. What most people do is one of two things. They either take it, pay the tax, and put it in another account, or they take it and they send it off to a – they don't take it, pardon me. We direct it to go directly to a charity, and that works as what's called a QCD or a qualified charitable distribution. So you can do that, but you have to be 70 and a half to be able to get it there.
I assume you still get taxed on whatever you take out. No matter.
Not if you give it to charity. Not if you give it to a charity, which is very, very important.
So do you have to direct it straight from the IRA?
Yeah. You cannot touch the money. Do not touch, go, do not, you know, whatever that game was, right? You know, no, the money goes directly to what's considered a 501c3 entity. So it can be your church, it can be Purdue, it can be IU, you know, wherever it is that you want to make the gift to, but it can't be used for tuition or anything else. So there's some strategies here to keep in mind. The reason I bring up the fact that you can wait until the next year So instead of doing it the year you turn 70 and a half, considering taking two distributions the following year, is that some of our incomes are volatile, right? I mean, you had years where your incomes was much larger than what is going to be the majority of the rest of life for people, right? That's part of being a football player. business is the same way, though, right? I mean, and when you're in the sales world or when you're even in the agricultural world, your income can have huge variations from year to year. And so you want to pay attention to those. Last year was the first time that I had two people who both retired at age 70. And they were both making a reasonable sum of money. They were working because they wanted to work, not because they had to. And so we had them wait until the following year to take two distributions out of their RMD because their income was going to be much lower. So, right? There's no reason to pay taxes at that higher level if they didn't have to. And it wasn't like they had to have the money. So pay attention to the situation that you're in. Now, IRAs can and 401ks have different rules. And it's important to understand that. So let's say you work someplace and you don't own more than 5% of the outstanding stock, and you have a 401k. You no longer, after the Tax Act from 2017, you no longer have to take the required minimum distribution out of your 401k if you're still working and you don't own 5% of the stock, more than 5% of the company, okay? In your IRA, you still have to take it, okay?
So how can we keep the two in check, and how can we remember all this stuff?
Good luck with that. You talk about a playbook. The tax code is complex and it constantly evolves. You know, in human nature, we're so used to being able to check something off and saying, okay, we got that done, we got it taken care of. Well, no, we don't. And that's part of the problem. It's one of those things that you have to look at all the time. You're in the mortgage industry, and I've talked to people continuously about 2003 to 2007, and I said if I was in the mortgage industry, I would have had a letter in my mailbox every 6 months, because even though Greenspan continued to raise rates, the mortgage rates continued to drop. And people should have been refi-ing.
Which a lot of them did, too.
And a lot of them did. I think I had 5 refinances on my house. I did. We wound up at 2.85% for, at a 30-year fixed. And, you know, I'll take that trade, right? But you have to pay attention. And just as you can do the math to figure out how good of a deal that is, a lot of people miss the deal inside of the tax code and the opportunities that are there, whether those be Roth conversions, whether they be a backdoor Roth. There's just a lot of things you can do, and people don't pay attention to them. So here's one of the ones that doesn't apply to a lot of people, but I want you guys to be very aware of, and it's what I call bracket bumping. And what happens many times when you live in central Indiana, it's just a cheap place to live. I mean, we don't have to have a lot of discretionary income to be able to have a really, really great life in Indiana. And, you know, we're blessed for that. But what I see happen many times, Ken, is people will have a 401k or they'll have an IRA. Let's just say it's $1 million. And they're living on Social Security and maybe a little other income, but not much. Right. They're in their mid 60s. I see it happen a lot where somebody's taxable income is virtually zero because they're living on so little income, even though they have acquired a great number of assets that are sitting over in an account. And then they've got three kids like you. Right. Three kids like Ken Dilger.
Yeah.
Three where they have three kids that have done very well. Right. That have higher incomes. So here they are at a lower income bracket. And here you are at a higher income bracket. And what happens is because we get caught in a moment where we all want to pay the least amount of taxes possible this year, they don't take any money out of their IRA where they could have taken it out and been taxed at 10% or 12%. They don't take it out. And then all of a sudden, one of two things happen. Either they get to that magical age where they have to take the required minimum distribution or they die. And all of a sudden, Ken gets his check. So there's three kids. Ken gets his check for $333,000, and it's now taxed at your bracket instead of your parents' bracket that was maybe at 0% or at 10%. See, it's you've got to pay attention to this tax structure in terms of how it works. As many times we kick the can and we kick it into a higher tax code our higher tax bracket than what we really, really need to do, because we don't have the planning and the preparation that's done to go along with everything. So hope that makes a little bit of sense. You're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. If you got a question or comment, shoot me an email, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com. And of course, if you have any questions or you want to make a phone call, it's 800-928-4001. Ken and I will take a break. We're going to come back and talk about dividend yield and how they get reported. Very, very confusing for an awful lot of people. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This and managing partner of the Financial Enhancement Group. For the last 20 years, the Financial Enhancement Group has developed a process that's straightforward and simple. I'll share that with you, what we use to protect more than 700 families, more than $300 million in retirement assets. We take care of people who don't want to worry about their money. I started in this industry before the crash in 1987, and I've been an active participant helping families like yours strive to build a secure retirement. Here's what I've learned as a certified financial planner, a former professor at Purdue University, and as a trusted advisor for the last three decades. Nothing will separate you from your retirement like the Internal Revenue Service. You can reach us at 800-928-4001 at yourlifeafterwork.com. The Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC. Again, that number is 800-928-4001, and you can reach us at yourlifeafterwork.com.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
You love your car, and so does CarChecks. We're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and have been helping people avoid spending a fortune in costly car repair bills for almost 20 years. For about $2.50 a day, you get the peace of mind in knowing that your expensive repair bills may be covered by a vehicle protection plan. Think about if your air conditioner or the transmission goes out. That could cost you a few $1,000s. Or you can get protected with car checks and pay only a standard deductible. For about $2.50 a day, you can make sure you don't get stuck with the bill for covered repairs. Keep your car in tip-top shape. For a completely free quote, call Car Checks now at 800-958-5207. 800-958-5207. That's 800-958-5207. Or visit getprotected.com. That's getprotected.com.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
Happy to have you along. You know, we got a question over the weekend, Ken. How does a dividend yield get reported? And when I saw the question, at first it was kind of like, okay, where are they trying to get to here? You know, what are you trying to understand? And then I saw the Wall Street Journal and saw an article and I got, aha. So somebody's been reading the newspaper and asking a good question. So a yield, being that we live in Indiana, think about the yield when you plant an acre of corn. The yield is what you're able to take out of it, right? When you look at a company has, hopefully, at the end of the year, profitability. And with that profitability, there are a few things that the board has the ability to do. Now, yes, the president and the chairman of the board and the CEO, they tend to direct the board, and the majority of the time the board doesn't argue. But here's the deal. The board is the one that actually gets to decide. So when I have profit, Ken, I can take my profit and I can reinvest in my business. I can build a new building, right? I can take the money and go and acquire another company. Or I can take the money and as long as I have a plan, the IRS is okay with this, as long as I have a plan, I can keep some of the money back for a future acquisition that we plan on making a couple years down the road. That's called a retained earning. Or I can issue a dividend. And if I issue a dividend, that means that I'm taking that profit and I'm distributing to you. Now, here's where people get a little bit frustrated or a little misunderstood. When we talk about double taxation is that we pay taxes at the corporate level. And then I send you a tax return or I send you a 1099 and you get to pay taxes again at your level. That's where that double taxation comes into play. So when we look at what happened in the tax code change in 2017, that was a big deal because corporations went from a 35% tax rate down to that 21% tax rate. Just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So that they're still paying tax, but they're paying tax at a far lower level than what they were before. But that still doesn't get us to what a dividend yield is. A dividend yield, let's say your stock is $100 a share, and your dividend is a dollar. That means that your dividend yield would be 1%. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've tried to get people to understand that the market is a voting machine. Benjamin Graham put it that way. Warren Buffett's mentor. It's the market, the equity market, if you will, the stock market is a voting machine of what we believe the future is to come. Okay. So in 2008, there was a horrible period of time in our economy, as we all know, especially if you were anywhere near the real estate world. Things became much, much lower in value on paper. And yet I still got up in the same house. I still slept, you know, I still got up and took my shower in the same place. I still lived there, right? Nothing changed except the alleged value because people thought real estate was plummeting. And indeed, it did in a lot of different places. So let's say the stock fell from $100 a share to $50 a share, but you still had a dollar dividend. Suddenly your yield became 2%. So what I want you to understand is the yield on the dividend changes one of two ways. It either changes because the stock price moves either higher or lower, or the dividend is increased. Very rarely will you see a company decrease their dividend because that goes on all sorts of hot lists when that happens. There are money managers. You told me at the break that you're used to buying companies that don't have dividends that appreciate, mostly real estate. But when you buy a company that has a that pays a dividend, they are very reluctant to ever reduce the amount of that dividend, right? So they don't pay attention to the yield per se. But if they're used to paying a quarter a share, and maybe they take it up to 30 cents a share, or maybe they take it up to 27 cents a share, but rarely will you see them reduce it just because there are managers who will flat out go in and sell it. Okay? So when you think about it, it's the best way to understand it is the yield is not fixed. The payout is declared. The dividend is declared, usually paid quarterly, almost always. But the yield changes as the price of the stock moves. So how are they taxed? It always gets down to the end of the day how the IRS gets involved. And dividends that are qualified, and what's that mean? Qualified dividend is a dividend that comes from a company that's based here in the United States. So we have things on our market that are called ADRs or American Depository Receipts. Those are companies that are based overseas but trade on a U.S. market. Those would not be qualified dividends. A qualified dividend would be a company like Procter & Gamble or Eli Lilly. And those dividends are qualified. And they're taxed the same way that a long-term capital gain is taxed. In other words, if you're in the 22% bracket, for instance, and you have a CD that's now yielding a wonderful 2%, right? That 2% is fully taxable to you at your marginal rate, so at the 22% bracket. On the other hand, if you had a qualified dividend, it's taxed at 15%, about 7% less. If you happen to be in the 12% bracket or below, it's not taxable at all, Ken. Right? So it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing in terms of how you structure income or what it is, you know, what it is you're trying to look or get done.
Joe, let me ask you a question here. Would I rather have a company pay a dividend, or would I rather see that stock price go up in value so my shares are more valuable?
I guess it depends who you ask. Just because I don't pay a dividend doesn't mean my share price has to go up, right?
Right.
Because it is a weighing machine, right? So the stock market moves based on the belief of everybody as to what that company is going to be able to do into the future. So the typical belief is if a company keeps the cash, that they're going to try to invest it better than you could because they're going to invest it in themselves, in that individual company. Whereas if they pay a dividend, you have the choice as to which company you want to invest it in. So you'll hear some people, Mr. Kramer on CNBC will tell you that he would much rather have the dividend. Adam, my CFA, my chief investment strategist, likes to see dividends. He wants to see companies that can distribute the profit and not have to worry about where they're going. I, as a business owner, turn around and invest many of the quote unquote dividends right back in the business, hence the new headquarters here in Anderson. So it depends, but what you don't want to have is a company that is not growing, continuing to invest in themselves. If they've got a model that's making sense, that's working, right? Then invest, because you save taxes on that deal, right? If I've got to get you, in order for me to get you a dividend, Ken, we've got to pay taxes at the corporate level, and then you're going to pay taxes at your level, assuming you're above the 12% bracket. If I take the money and I reinvest in something for the Financial Enhancement Group, we buy another building, we buy somebody else's business, a better piece of technology, you know, that's all deductible. And so you get a little bit of extra juice. You know, that's the question you always want to ask is the juice worth the squeeze, right? So you've got your orange, and it takes energy, takes resources, time, right, to get the juice out. And you want to ask yourself, hey, is this worth the juice? But I prefer to invest in companies that when I can personally that have a growth mindset as opposed to a stagnant one. But you know, we all have different choices and different viewpoints, and that's why we have multiple people on our allocation team. Hey, you're listening to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, I'm Ken Dilger, co-host of Consider This with Joe Clark. Joe is a certified financial planner and a former professor at Purdue University. Joe is the managing partner for the Financial Enhancement Group based in Central Indiana, and Joe's passion is teaching people about their money so they don't make inefficient financial decisions. The Financial Enhancement Group manages more than $390 million for families in 31 states. The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people who don't want to worry about their money. The Financial Enhancement Group can be reached at 1-800-928-4001. You can find out more at our website, yourlifeafterwork.com. Financial Enhancement Group is an SEC registered investment advisor. Securities offered through World Equity Group, Inc., member FINRA, SBIC. Again, the number is 1-800-928-4001.
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair, and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience in the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble. I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread. Payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself. But come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Call the CPAP hotline now. 800-525-8891. 800-525-8891. That's 800-525-8891. Copays and deductible supply. Supplies are replaced in accordance with Medicare guidelines.
This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Consider This. I'm Joe Clark.
And I'm Ken Dilger.
And we are talking this morning about things that you should consider over life insurance changes and challenges. So, Ken, I think you will like this. I guess I knew instinctively that it had to happen. It just kind of shocked me when it did. I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but John Hancock's not a small company. And John Hancock no longer is issuing traditional life insurance.
Why is that?
Because they have gone to a, how do you put it? The terminology was not real clear, but here's the deal. If you wear a Fitbit, if you, the Apple Watch, you know, if you do the health stuff where,
well,
where you're reporting on yourself, right. Then they will write the insurance policy based on that, and you've got to stick to your guns about staying healthy. Whereas in life insurance today, once the policy is issued, the company's on the hook, and you're on the hook for the premium. And after 2 years, you can even, you know, do that now. You know, it's a crazy, crazy little world that we live in. My fear with life insurance is that most people do not understand the challenges that are within. So we have three different types of life insurance primarily. There's four. All life insurance, please never forget this, all life insurance is term insurance. It's called a thing called ART, annual renewable term. There is no other type of insurance that's out there for life. Now, what happens is insurance companies will wrap that annual renewable term into a package. So the best known one is what we call whole life. Whole life is when a company says, hey, here's the premium. This is what I'm going to charge you. And by the way, you're going to have some guaranteed cash value along the way. So you can either sell the policy back and get the guaranteed cash value, or you can die and get the death benefit, or your beneficiaries rather can die or get the death benefit. And then there's these things they call dividends, which are very confusing to people because dividends are not dividends like we talked about in the stock type of dividend. A dividend inside of a life insurance policy is defined as an overcharge of refund premiums. It's defined, let me say that again, as a return of overcharged premiums.
So do you actually get that cash back once a year, or does it go back into the insurance policy?
It almost always goes back into the policy. You do not pay taxes on it at all, but you do pay taxes on the interest that it earns. So you may see a whole life policy that has what's called PUAs, paid up additions. Paid up additions are buying more life insurance so that you don't get the 1099 on the interest that's coming off of the dividend, right? If you ever see that inside of a whole life policy. So if you've got a whole life policy, here's the point. If you've got a whole life policy, you're good to go. That didn't mean go buy one. My point is, if they told you this is the premium and this is your death benefit, you're fine. Now, the other two, however, are the ones that scare me. There's a policy out there that's called a universal life. Universal life is where you have a term component, as all life insurance policies have, like we discussed. Except in this case, in the term policy, you get to see the cost of your insurance go up every year because we get closer to going home, right? Every year you get older, the cost of the insurance becomes more and more expensive. The concept in universal life is that the excess money that you put in is going to go into an interest-bearing account, and it is going, as it grows, you need to have, you don't have to have as much death benefit. Therefore, the growth of the money is able to offset the increasing cost of the term insurance. Okay? Now, that's hard to do without my whiteboard in front of me, but here's what I need you to take. Interest rates have been lower than expected when these policies were written. They really came out big in the late 1980s. And so a lot of people had this presumption that interest rates were going to be in cash accounts were going to be at 8, 10, 12% interest. And as we all know, Ken, interest rates have not been at 8, 10, and 12% interest. In fact, sometimes they've been 2 and 1 and 0, right? I mean, we've literally lived in a low interest rate environment. So these puppies are exponential. And by exponential, I mean the greater the rate of return, not only do you have more money, but you pay for less insurance, which again gives you more money, right? So the inverse, sadly enough, is also true. When interest rates stayed low, not only did you have less money because interest rates were low, but you also had to pay for more insurance, which means in many instances, you've got a policy where you're paying the premium, you think everything is okay, but you're going to get a dear Ken letter in the mail. And that letter is going to go like this: Dear Ken, your cash values have been exhausted. You now need to write a check for X, and it's a whole lot more than what you were paying before, or your insurance is going to lapse. And we watched this happen to one of our family members. They didn't tell me that they had a universal life policy. She got cancer. And next thing you know, they get a bill in the mail where their premiums, they thought, were $200 a quarter. And the insurance company wanted $4,000 a quarter because it was 15 years later. Cost of insurance had gone up. And they didn't have the $4,000 a quarter to pay. That's what I call a Dear Ken letter. All right. Now, the problem here, buddy, is you go to the other end, the variable universal life. Right. It's same concept, except when you hear the word variable, it means they're investing in the market. Right. So you're inside of the stocks and you may say, well, Joe, we're at near record highs at the time of this recording. Everything's got to be good. Yeah. Except when you look at a variable universal life insurance policy, every month they're taking money out of the cash account to pay the cost of the insurance. Right. So remember when we talk about the three phases of finance, you have accumulation, preservation, and distribution. Remember when I told you your number one objective in distribution was the tax rate you pay on the average dollar, and number two was the volatility? When you buy a variable universal life insurance policy, my friends, it by definition is in distribution from day one because it's taking money out of your investment side to pay the cost of the insurance on a monthly basis. And so when you look at the volatility that we've had since 2000, right, the universal life picked up in the late 1980s. Variable universal life got really, really hot probably around 1993, 94. And think about the volatility that many of those contracts have lived with. And so we see people come in and they've got their illustrations that said, hey, you know, we're going to have $400,000 or $500,000 in this account. And the reality is they have $40,000 or $50,000 in these accounts. The insurance premiums come due, and all of a sudden they get another Dear Ken letter, right? And it's there's nothing, I can't say there's nothing worse, but I would find it shocking to think that there would be something worse than thinking you had a life insurance policy and all of a sudden it coming and not having anything, right?
Hey, Joe, how can somebody understand what the interest rate on a variable life policy is and make sure they have a good one in the market?
Yeah, either with a variable one, there is no interest rate. It's what the market does, and so you've got to make sure that the the rate of return that you're receiving is similar to the illustration that they provided. That's what keeps you from having the Dearkin letter. Hey, folks, we greatly appreciate you tuning in. You got a question or comment, shoot us an email. Consider this at yourlifeafterwork.com or give us a call at 800-928-4001. Have a great week. We'll see you again soon.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. This is Biz Talk Radio, America's home for business talk. Online at biztalkradio.com.